Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Sharon and I were in New Orleans this last weekend. On Saturday, particularly, we were there and we found out that there was going to be a St. Patrick's Day parade. And so a little afternoon, we made our way to the parade route and stood there on the sidewalk waiting for it to start, and it was in the Garden District, so we were leaning against, you know, they have those wrought iron fences going around all the yards, so we're kind of leaning against there, just waiting on the parade to start. Well, it was very interesting to watch the people. The people were out in throngs. Most everyone was wearing green. Everybody was Irish that day. It didn't matter where they're from. Everybody was Irish that day because it was St. Paddy's Day. You know, but there were those few among them that for whatever reason didn't feel that it was important to wear green. I guess you always have to have a few rebels. And many folks were already drunk, already whooping and hollering, having a good time, despite it just being right afternoon. Well, as we watched these people, as we people watched, I guess, we saw some really interesting folks. We saw some odd folks. We saw folks spread across the spectrum of lifestyle choices, and the people were fascinating. The whole situation, of course, with so many people was really, it was kind of overwhelming to take it all in. So much going on with so many people. And like usual, there I was pondering the upcoming sermon passage. The one that is for today. And what came to mind while observing this mass of humanity was that I was seeing firsthand those who were like sheep needing a shepherd. Now surely there were other Christians among the mob, but the general impression of the thousands of people that were there was that they were looking for something. They were looking for something to fill, something to nourish them. And maybe the parade would provide for them. Maybe it would provide for their need. So party, whoop and holler, feel great in the parade environment, soak up the energy, the excitement, enjoy the pleasure of the moment. But it was only a moment. For the folks partying in that moment, there was the afterwards, after it was all over, standing around, waiting for a trolley, and it was a long wait. Was there any sort of enduring fulfillment that occurred as a result of the parade? Any enduring fulfillment? No, hardly. I mean, it was a fun memory, sure. Enduring fulfillment? No. For the party environment of a parade is no shepherd. It's no shepherd that can bring lasting, nourishing satisfaction. But it's a common problem. It's a common problem, one that you see in the dynamics of football games and other types of sporting events, that you see at concerts, rock concerts with rock stars up there. You see this. People need a shepherd, but they don't know what a good shepherd looks like. And so often they look in the wrong places. And they look for the wrong Messiah. They follow this internal need for somebody or something to fill them, to nourish them, to give them a lasting satisfaction, but they never find what they are looking for. They never find it. Unless, of course, someone points out the identity of the Good Shepherd to them, who provides for all of their needs, all the needs of his sheep, in an everlasting way. If someone points the shepherd, the true shepherd, out to them, and they believe and follow him. In Mark 6, 30 through 33, it tells us of the return of the disciples, and it sets up the context for Jesus' miracle here. The disciples, after executing their mission to take the gospel to the local towns, they came back and they reported to Jesus. It's interesting here that he didn't say what they reported, but he does say that they were hungry and they didn't have time to eat. And they were tired, they were hungry, they were overwhelmed. And I mean, can you imagine that so many people crushing them as soon as they get back? They couldn't even relax to grab a bite. And so Jesus saw their need. He saw their need and he told them to set out for a place to rest where there were no people, a desolate place in the wilderness. They had boats, they could get in a boat and go. And that was the plan. Jesus knows his disciples then and now cannot maintain a constant push of ministry, but need breaks to regroup and to refresh. And this is a constant truth for ministers of the gospel, and we have to have breaks, much like this last week's vacation. Y'all were so generous to let me go on, and it was wonderful, and we're very thankful for that time. But as the disciples find out in verse 33, when disciples of Christ, and in this I mean all Christians, when disciples of Christ are weary and seeking rest, sometimes people with need for the bread of life pop up, even when you're trying to get away. So what do? Do we ignore them? Do we say they need to fend for themselves? Jesus answers that. And he says no. He says no. We can never turn out our light. We can never cease being salt. Never. We cannot take off the mantle of being a servant of the Lord Jesus. For such is our nature in Christ. And thankfully, he provides even when we as his disciples are physically, mentally, and emotionally drained. Let's look at this a little closer. The setting for the miracle is one that's described here as a desolate place, a wilderness. And Luke 9:10 tells us that where they went was up there by Bethsaida. It was mountainous country near where the Jordan emptied into the Sea of Galilee. It was about a four-mile sail to get there from where they were. About four-mile sail. It was about 8 miles to go around by land. And regardless of the difference of the distances, the people hurried there on foot. And either the disciples were rowing really slow, or the people were running really fast. But however it worked out, when the disciples and Jesus arrived there, there were all those people standing on the shore, waiting on them. So much for a desolate place. And people from villages all around the area were swept up in the excitement, in the fervor of this miracle worker. And so they came out in droves to see what he would do. And Tim Keller, he points out that this particular area where they were gathered was a hot spot for zealots. And zealots were Jews who had a great zeal for Israel. And they were viciously opposed to the occupying Romans. And these zealots and the people in general, they were desperate for a leader, for a Messiah. And they envisioned their Savior would be one who would take political and military power, casting out the Romans. And as this is Palm Sunday, think about it, such was the expectation of the crowds that welcomed Jesus to Jerusalem, throwing down their cloaks and those palms as he rode in on his colt. They were looking for the Messiah. And, well, he wasn't quite what they had in mind. Here was Jesus with such extraordinary powers. Extraordinary powers, extraordinary teaching. And they look at him and they say, perhaps he's it. Perhaps he's the one. Perhaps he'll be our Savior. The one that will lead our revolution against the Romans. Now his location, as it's described, as a desolate place, a wilderness, there with thousands of people gathered. Well, it brings to mind the people of Israel in the wilderness after the Exodus. Consider our Old Testament reading from Numbers 27. Moses knew he couldn't take the people into the promised land. The Lord told him, you're not going in. So he petitioned the Lord there in verse 16 through 17. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. Does that ring a bell? That ring a bell. Mark 6:34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now Jesus echoes Moses' concern for the people. I mean, here was this great throng of humanity. And rather than being irritated with the crowds for running around and, you know, keeping them from being able to have a little bit of peace and quiet for a short time, you know, be able to retreat, rather than being irritated at the crowds, Jesus looked at them and he saw their need. And he cared for them. He had compassion for them because he loved them. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he sums up what it means for people to be like sheep without a shepherd. He writes this, there were questions but no answers, distress but no relief, anguish of conscience but no deliverance, tears but no consolation, sin but no forgiveness. Filled with compassion, Jesus acted. Jesus took charge and he fulfilled the promise of God in Ezekiel 34, where the Lord promised to shepherd the people directly due to the failure of the leaders, those that in that passage they call shepherds. Ezekiel 34, 14 through 15 says this, I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. So there in this desolate place, Jesus reveals that he was the shepherd that the people desperately needed and were searching for, even if it didn't match the image of a Savior that they had in mind. How? Consider Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? You know, I shall not want. The shepherd provides for the needs of his people. And then the psalm continues going on, listing his ways of provision. The Lord Jesus shepherded the people by providing for them. For Jesus is the fulfillment of that psalm. First, he ministered to the crowd. That was the first thing he did. It's interesting. He had compassion, so he began to teach. So the first thing he did was he began to teach the Word of God straight from the mouth of God. You know, he taught them. Just like the psalm says in 23:3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In his word, in his teaching of them, he was leading them in paths of righteousness, showing them the path of righteousness. We know that Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. And probably here he was speaking in parables, because we saw earlier that from that point he was speaking in parables. We know that his message was repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand. And we know this. And we also know that Jesus called for disciples to follow him on that path of righteousness. He showed them hope. He gave them answers. He showed them the relief to their distress. He pointed to the deliverance from their anguish of conscience. He brought consolation to their tears. He offered forgiveness in their repentance. The Word made flesh gave of himself to them in his teaching. And the Word was truth and everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. And there Jesus is referring to the food that endures to eternal life. He was pointing to himself. He provides for our spiritual nourishment in his word and by his spirit. And if we are to be Jesus' followers, we need to recognize that we are sheep who need a shepherd. We are sheep that need a shepherd. And despite some of the very negative things that some people have said about sheep being dumb and such, really I think that's an injustice to sheep when they're described as such. Despite that, the imagery of us being sheep is not an insulting thing. We need the provision of the shepherd. We need that. We need the bread of life. We need his word, his spiritual nourishment. We need the relief that only he can give to us in our distress, the deliverance that only he can give for our anguish of conscience, the consolation that only he can bring to dry our tears, and the forgiveness that he gives us in repentance. The Lord comes to us with compassion. He cares for us. He leads us. Find comfort in his provision. Count on him. Count on Jesus to provide for you as he leads you along that path of righteousness as the shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd of God. And in his word, this word we find here in the scriptures, there the Lord provides so that you might know satisfaction eternally in him. There we find the teaching of Jesus, just as he spoke to these people on that day long ago. So let's look at 35 through 36. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat." Now on the surface, as you look at this, it seems like the disciples are offering up a pretty reasonable suggestion to how to take care of these crowds. I'll send them so they can get something. Well, Jesus, that's not what he had in mind. He had a greater solution in mind. Verse 37 here. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." He said, don't send them. He said, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them?" Again, seemingly a reasonable suggestion, if Not a sarcastic response. It sounds pretty sarcastic as you read it. And they had just returned from their ministry where Jesus had sent them out with no money. And they just didn't have the funds to be able to pay for food for all these people. But they weren't tracking with Jesus' vision for provision. They weren't viewing the situation through the eyes of faith. And there was no expectation there for Jesus to somehow miraculously feed his 5,000. And so Jesus gave instructions. Verse 38. And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Well, at this point, the disciples were probably thinking something along the lines of, well, now Jesus will see that our suggestion was sound. We don't have the money. We don't have the food required to provide for this huge crowd's need for physical nourishment. That was the way they saw it. But Jesus wouldn't have it. He wasn't having it. He wasn't having that. He was like, uh-uh. That's not satisfactory, guys. He said, uh-uh. You know, so he turned to the crowd and he directed them. We see this in verse 39 and 40. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. Did you see that? Now this, in this desolate place, in this mountainous wilderness where they sent them, the shepherd had them sit down on the green grass. Ring a bell? Psalm 23:2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He even organizes them. He sets them up for success in receiving the provision that he was going to give them. And as we see this organization, it's reminiscent of the encampment of Israel in the wilderness, where if you look in Exodus 18:21, it says they were organized into thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So there's this idea of organizing them. The same terminology is used there. And further, it was in the wilderness where the people of God were, where they received manna from heaven, bread from heaven. Exodus 16. Here we have likewise Jesus organizing the people and providing manna from heaven, providing bread from heaven for them in his provision. Look at 41 through 43. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. What we see there is this idea of abundance of provision. It says, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples here were taught a very valuable lesson. They knew that they were tired. They knew that they were lacking in provision. They knew that they were insufficient to the task at hand. Despite these things, Jesus told them to feed the people anyway. And the provision of the people, it wasn't reliant on the resources of the disciples. The provision came straight from the Lord through their obedience. Like Jesus told Paul in his affliction, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Hence Paul says, "Therefore I will boast the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." 2 Corinthians 12:9. Jesus' provision, it echoes too the narratives of Elijah and Elisha. With Elijah and the widow at Zarephath, 1 Kings 17:16 says, "The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." And with Elisha, there we see it with the sons of the prophets in 2 Kings 4, 42 through 44. It says this, a man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in a sack. And Elisha said, give to the men that they may eat. But his servant said, how can I set this before 100 men? So he repeated, give them to the men that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left. So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Now, did you notice that in both accounts that it says that this provision was according to the word of the Lord? Jesus, he was the source of this provision for both Elijah and Elisha. Jesus was the miraculous provider. And his feeding of the 5,000 here shows that he was exponentially greater than the prophets. And what is more, what we have here in this account, that this whole miracle, well, it was a parable of sorts. For one, with abundant provision of the Lord, from two fish and five loaves of bread, Jesus shows the blessings of the kingdom he brings. And then Jesus taught the disciples that although that they will never, ever be adequate enough to take the gospel to the whole world, such is unimportant. And they'll later see this in action. The Lord provided miraculous multiplication after Pentecost as they, his apostles, went from place to place and person to person proclaiming the gospel, bringing them the bread of life to those who believe. And as breaking the bread, before as distributing it to the people, Jesus gave thanks here. Such brings to mind the Lord's Supper. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And Jesus, he is the good shepherd, Lord and Savior. As he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John 10, 11. Jesus' death on the cross was the atonement for all of our sins, if we believe. And from that one moment in time, the blessing has grown so that the numbers of those who have been fed and who have been satisfied in Jesus Christ, who have been saved by Jesus, are numerous like the sands of the seashore. And what a different picture, too, that Jesus provides from the victorious military and political leader that the people that were what they had in mind is what the Messiah should look like. Jesus lived a humble life, and he died a terrible death. Yet that is the nature of the Messiah that all people need. Victory on the cross. And so Jesus teaches his disciples a valuable lesson. And if you're Christian, that includes you. Reliance on Christ to provide is the essential element in ministering the gospel. That's the principle. Reliance on Christ to provide is the essential element in ministering the gospel. It does not require great heroes with tremendous power. Now, the Lord does his work through the weak. He does it through those who are inadequate but are faithful in obedience. The Lord provides. And Jesus also, he gives us a mission. If you're a believer, if you're a disciple of Christ, we have a mission from the Lord. We're called to take the blessings of Christ to the whole world, starting right here in our own little town. We're to take action. We're to actually go out and do this, bringing the gospel to our community and beyond. And this requires trust in the Lord to provide. Now, one thing that has been in discussion, for example, a way that we as a church can actively reach the community with the gospel is training groups to go out in the neighborhoods, to go out and knock on doors, you know, go down the street, knocking on door after door, You know, we want to provide training for this so that we as a body can take the gospel to our neighbors, those who are around us right now, inviting them to church, to worship, and to be fed. Now, you may be going, oh, there's no way I could do that. You may be going, oh, this is intimidating. Oh, I could never knock on somebody's door and tell them about Jesus. Oh, I can't do that. I'm just not good enough to do that. I'm too fearful. And maybe that's where you are. But what does this lesson show us about the Lord's provision? We don't focus on our own inadequacies when it comes to the task of sending the gospel to the world. We don't focus on our inadequacies. We focus on the provision of Jesus and our obedience. When the opportunity comes, jump at it. The Lord will provide. And who knows? I mean, you may have the gift, the spiritual gift of evangelism. You may have that. But how are you going to know what that really looks like in action unless you go out and act upon it? And if you don't have that particular gift, if you don't have it, if you are faithful in this, you will see the Lord provide. And people will come to know Jesus because you are faithful. Because you are faithful, people will come to know Jesus. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? I certainly do. I would hope you would. Our call, too, is not just to take care of the spiritual needs of people. Jesus shows us that we are also to take care of physical needs. Our deacons, of course, are very busy at that task. For example, the love offering we're going to have, we're busy at that task. You know, and there are opportunities for you to participate in helping for people's physical needs, which we're called to take care of. I mean, like James the Apostle said, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, well, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James 2:15-17. Jesus ministered to the spiritual and the physical needs of the people throughout his entire ministry. And as his followers, we are called to do likewise. Hence our vision here, our church vision at MPC is disciples of Christ, glorifying God in word and deed. And our mission statement flows from that, to make and equip disciples unified in the service, love, joy, and peace of God. That is what we are about, my friends. We can't make it for, or we can't make for ourselves eternal life. We can't somehow give ourselves eternal life. We can never give ourselves everlasting abundance of blessing. We need the shepherd to lead us to those promises, to provide for us. Follow Jesus, the good shepherd, the compassionate shepherd, the shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He is the answer. He is the one you seek. He provides. Trust in him. Because Jesus is the compassionate shepherd, we must count on his provision.